This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Because we can't believe it's over, we'll be spending the rest of the show on The Sopranos finale that aired last night. It ended without a bang, or even a bada bing. I couldn't resist. Coming up, Brian Unger wonders what to do with his Sunday nights from now on. First, David Remnick, the editor of The New Yorker, is here. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, I know you're a fan, and I know you, you're from New Jersey. Well, let's start with the ending, with the blank screen. What? Did you check your TV like everyone else did to make sure it was that something wasn't wrong with your TV?
No, I actually, and I've heard a lot of, you know, needless to say, water cooler debate about this morning, but I thought it was kind of a great ending.
You thought it was a great ending?
I did. Because I thought it was a great show because there was no sanctimony, no lessons. It went out the way it came in the sense that it was dramatically ambiguous and funny, and to blow him up in a car or have him sent to Phoenix in the witness protection program would have been somehow too concrete.
Right.
I think, you know, if I had to speculate forward, and here we are, grown people talking about imaginary characters.
They're not
on the
imaginary.
Radio.
They're real.
The crime family that they're modeled on in New Jersey, the DeKalb counties, really fell apart because of federal wiretaps, and most of those guys went to jail. And things disintegrated and got worse and worse. And
you know, I have to say, I love the fact that he was in a roundabout way saved, if he was indeed saved, because that's ambiguous, by Agent Harris, the federal agent.
Well, corruption is everywhere in The Sopranos. It's ruthless. It's a merciless show in a way. Sooner or later, everybody's culpable.
Right. I mean, even Meadow, who ends up in the last, you know, almost the last scene where she's talking with her father, and basically still she's in denial about what he does for a living, defending him being dragged off by the FBI.
She's been completely in the know about what her father did from the very first season when she goes on her college trips to Maine. And she asks her father, "Are you in the mafia?" And he more or less says yes. And while she's getting interviewed at Bowdoin, he, you know, strangles some guy who's who's on the lam. She's completely in the. She's just like Mom.
Mm-hmm.
She wants it both ways.
What did you think of the title of that episode, "Made in America"?
David Chase is a really terrific writer, but he's also a very self-conscious one. And if you look at the series, it's littered with references to movie history, and Scorsese and Dino De Laurentiis and Francis Ford Coppola are all figures in The Sopranos, every bit as much as Paulie Walnuts and Silvio Dante.
Yeah, I mean, the last scene, this ambiguous character goes into the bathroom.
Right, and
just
we're
supposed
like to remember supposed to remember Godfather Part One when Michael goes into the bathroom and takes the gun from the old-fashioned toilet tank. In the same way that when long ago Tony was in the psychiatrist's office with Dr. Melfi, and they're talking about what he reads and for strategic purposes, and she recommends, you know, Lao Tzu's The Art of War, and he says, "Yeah, but a lot of my guys, they read Prince Machiavelli." Now, which is an incredible piece of writing because it's making a reference to Machiavelli, the prince, and a kind of low-priced perfume of our childhood. It doesn't get any better than that.
I have to say, I really Angelied that. Okay, now, last but not least, what are you going to be doing on Sunday nights?
I, in a moment of complete self-indulgence, I bought all six boxes of The Sopranos, and I guess I'll have to start from the beginning.
All right, David Remnick, enjoy your viewing.
Thanks.
Enjoy your Sunday nights for forever, I guess.
Who says I'm going to wait till Sunday?
David Remnick is the editor of The New Yorker magazine.